How many's ever had an argument with anybody? I want to teach you today how to deal with people who have left the church, how to deal with people who have hurt you, how to deal with people that don't like you. They have bad taste, I understand that. And how to deal with people who have sinned against you. And you may hear this message for a couple of weeks, because there's a lot of people where the Lord's taking us that just need to hear. Because I'm convinced that what the enemy wants to do is sidetrack the moving of the Holy Spirit in worship, in relationships, in reconciliation, in moving and ministering. And so that believers understand it's not so important about being right, it's important to do right. Too often we want to be right, we want to have our way, we want to have things happen that we feel is right. And the only one that matters as who's right is God.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
And that's hard sometimes. It's hard to come to a place where we realize, I may be right, but do I have to prove it? And understand something. God is interested in relationships. And God is interested in reconciling relationships that have been destroyed or are being destroyed or could be destroyed. And I believe as the church comes together, dealing with those who have left, dealing with those who are coming back, and ministering that love and power of the Holy Spirit to them, that we are going to see a measure of God's presence increase and increase and increase. Because if God is interested in reconciliation and relationships, then He wants to be in the middle where that's happening. I'm going to, I was sitting with Kirk, I don't know if it was Wednesday or what day it was. And we were talking about some relationships and talking about things, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just began to download things. And I told Kirk, I got a message for Sunday.
Started ignoring me.
You know, and sometimes that's not, well, forget it. God's concern for His body, and I'm just going to go into some areas that I believe God is concerned about. God's concern for His body, and I'm not talking about churches, although church included in His body if people are Christians, that is built on Christ, and He is the head. That we believe and proclaim Jesus is the only way of salvation. That His body is in unity through relationships with Christ and each other. That broken relationships are reconciled and restored with Him and with His body. That the message of the gospel is proclaimed and demonstrated by our lifestyles and ministry. That His body worships Him in spirit and in truth. And that we not only worship Him, but we walk in a lifestyle of worship. When something happens, when things are going on, there's never a panic situation because we remain in contact and communication and worship with God. We're not blindsided. We're living and we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. While many have been born into the body of Christ, many are walking away. And sometimes as believers, we just sit idly by and do nothing to reach them. And it's our responsibility as believers, and it's not just Kirk and mine, it's our responsibility to know how to approach and how to minister. To be able to reach out and come to a place where they want to come back. There's some things that separate people. Sin separates people. Misunderstandings and perceived hurts separate people. Pride and legalism separates people. Unforgiveness and bitterness separates people. An unwillingness to obey God and do our own thing separates people. And so instead of separating, we want to bring together. Reconciliation brings restoration. And we come to a place where that's our heart. It comes to a place before somebody hurts you or before somebody says something about you. You've already walked in forgiveness. Does it hurt? Sure. But I don't react. I come to a place where I'm just trusting God and believing God and enjoying the fact that I've grown and matured and come to a place where whatever happens to me, I'm God's. I have nothing to prove. Nothing to prove. Jesus came to earth with nothing to prove and nothing to lose. I want you to understand that. When Herod said, "Do some miracles," Jesus had nothing to prove. And so he just stood there. God working through you and the love that he's placed within you proves that he's your master. And that's what it's about. So, let's go to the Word of God, okay? Sometimes when you're all confused and you're looking at me and thinking, is this over yet? Let's take just a moment before I go on. There was another suicide this week in Webster. One of the young gals that we feed on Friday morning's sister killed herself. And just want to stop and pray. Father, you know the hurt in this family. Lord, you know the pain they're going through, the questions they have, the things they're asking. And Father, I just ask you to comfort and strengthen and just send your Holy Spirit to minister to them. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. That means he's brought peace in that relationship. That means he's brought you to him. Now I'm going to look at my notes more than I normally do because I think they're almost good for a change. So what God has done, he sent his son because we were alienated, we were without hope, and without Christ. Keep in mind something that's very important to realize. And that's before Christ came, the Gentiles had no access. Do you understand something? And look at me now. The Gentiles were never under the law. The Gentiles were never under the Ten Commandments. They could not come to God through the law. The Gentile law was laid down in Acts chapter 15 and 16. And it's about 4 points. Don't eat meat offered to idols. Don't drink blood. Don't eat blood. Flee fornication. And there's one more. Somebody know it? Good. Go look it up. And so we were never under the law. The law was never given to us to bring us into relationship with God. And so legalism is not something we do. It was something that the legalistic Jews wanted to bring to the Gentiles. Starting with circumcision. Read Galatians. And so Galatians tells us that under the law, no one is justified. So you need to be praising God that Jesus came. Amen? You need to be praising God that we were included in the crucifixion. We were included in the resurrection. And Peter and Paul brought that gospel message to the Gentiles. Peter at the house of Cornelius, and Paul to the Gentile nations. Therefore, we were reconciled to Christ. Now, I'm not saying go out there and break the Ten Commandments because they're still sin. Some of them. Jesus fulfilled the law, like love your neighbor as yourself and love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the new law. And then Acts chapter 15. Amen. Turn with me then to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any was in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus, and has given us the message ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So you and I have been called to bring peace to people and to bring peace in situations. And so what do I do? What do I do if somebody at church in the body of Christ is just mean to me? And keep in mind, your children and your husband and your wife are brothers and sisters in Christ before they're your husband or wife. Or sons and daughters. First, they belong to God. Amen?
Amen.
And so, a great idea, just a good idea, is treat your family as you treat somebody else in church. That is, if you're doing good to other people. Okay? Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to get very specific in a moment. You know, I started thinking about Matthew chapter 18, and then I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is. Paul literally, actually excommunicated somebody from the church. Really have. Really did. I'm not going there. I've been asked by people, I'll come to church if you kick so-and-so out. You notice they're not here this morning. And you are. So it gets very interesting. And in some of those cases, there was no place for reconciliation until later. And Paul comes back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 or 5 and says, restore such a one now because he's suffered enough. But Jesus set down some rules of how to do things. Verse 15, chapter 18. Pretty quiet. Are you excited?
Yes.
Are you excited? Come on.
Yes, sir.
This is going to change a lot of ways that some or all of us deal with things. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Okay. If you walk out of here with your feelings hurt, come tell me and I'll say, get over it. No, I won't. So if somebody hurts you, and you know they're doing something to hurt you intentionally, that's another believer. If they're hurting you intentionally, it's not wrong to go say, hey, that hurt. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Goes on to say, but if they will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Now, why are we doing this? What's the point? The point is God loves reconciliation. The point is God loves restoration. The point is God cares about that. We need to understand that. He cares about that. He's not trying to burn you or hurt you or open up some old wounds or do some things. He's trying to say, I want my body in peace. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And so you take somebody and you talk to them. I'm going to go into detail on some of that stuff. And if he refuses to hear them, the two witnesses you got with you, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to hear the church, let him be an outcast. Seem pretty extreme. Do you know why? Because God amazingly dislikes those who sow discord in the body of Christ.
Yes.
Follow me? God is working for reconciliation. God works for healing. God works to bring peace. But there are issues that are never dealt with, and we live with a lot of things going on around us. And a lot of people say, I don't want to rock the boat. But keep in mind, nothing that Jesus said was done out of getting even or vengeance or hurting somebody. Amen?
Amen.
It was done with a purpose. It was done with a plan of reconciliation. There is a time when more people can mean more problems. Love the way you're shouting. And what am I saying that for? Because that day is coming here or on the hill or wherever that there's going to be many more people. There are many things going on. I got a call late Friday night from a man who I know very well, whose girlfriend has cancer, living out by Rapid City somewhere, bringing her in because she heard that somebody we prayed for got healed of cancer, so they're coming. Do you realize it just takes sometimes it just takes some major thing that things explode, as Kirk was talking about? We haven't seen enough miracles. We haven't seen enough healings. We haven't seen enough things going on. And God wants us prepared to minister those who don't understand and know as much as you guys do. And so we step into that. So how do I live? I believe when something is said of me or to me, and 20 years ago there was a lot going on. Some people still come up and said, "I can't believe that happened." I said, "Yeah, sometimes I didn't either." Guard your reaction. Guard how you react to things. Come to a place where you look at things and you take a positive action toward them. Even if somebody gets in your face. Or you see somebody you know just absolutely wandering away from God, living in sin. Understand, God loves him as much as he loves us. And as people come in, some people are going to have some different views than you. Anybody know that? How do I respond to difference? Sometimes I need to listen to it. And at times when you start listening and you think people are different, you find out they're just vocalizing it different. They're just talking about it. But watch your reaction. Take your hands with me, and this is going to be totally different. Just lift them up. Close them. Put them like this. Open them. Let the stones go. No more stones to throw. You just dropped them. You're like the people when the woman was taken in adultery. When Jesus started speaking to them, what was the first thing they did? They dropped their stones. People that disagree with me, people that don't like me, people that say things about me, people that say things about you, let the stones go. They're not going to prove anything anyway. And if you throw a stone like I do, you'll miss. Let them go. No need to. I want you to understand something. You are secure in your relationship with God. You have nothing again to prove. God loves you. And God's not looking something that happened 10 years ago or 20 years ago and 30 years ago and holding it against you. It's gone. Therefore, I am able to forgive someone who's trying to kill me, hurts me, throw things at me, tells lies about me. You know, my philosophy used to be kill them and tell them, God, I found them that way. It's not the way. Amen?
Amen?
It's not the way. When the stones are coming at you, duck. Don't take it personally. I know that's hard. Number three. And this is where the devil wants to bring us. Don't allow an accusing or condemning spirit to take control. Don't allow it. Understand, God's interested in reconciliation. God's interested in restoring. God's interested in bringing people together. And when I start condemning someone or accusing someone, it doesn't work. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Because everybody put up their defenses. Right? And don't be historical. I'm not saying hysterical. I'm talking about historical. If something happens, deal with that. Not something that happened 20 years before or 15 years before or 10 years before. Deal with up to date. Amen?
Amen.
We okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And allow the Holy Spirit to bring a spirit of forgiveness. Could you know something? Things hurt so bad at times we protect ourselves. And we don't forgive. And all God is saying, restoration, reconciliation, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Okay, everybody look at me. Don't tell somebody you forgive them if you haven't. You say, what are you talking about? It's easy to say, yes, I forgive you, but you're still hurting and you're still burning and you're still upset and it still bothers you and you still like to choke them. Not you, just me. I remember when I came to church one morning and we had just put up that little sign out there and somebody had painted something like WACO on it. I killed him. No. It's not the way to do it. Do you know why, with God's help, you forgive is so that you don't get bitter and you don't get hurt? Because I don't care who you are, Satan wants to put you in a shell. And Satan doesn't want you doing the things that God called you to do, where you put your neck on a line, you put your head out, and you're speaking truth into people's lives. And I'll guarantee you, someone's not going to take it well. Hello? Because that's the enemy's game. The enemy's game is to shut you up and shut you down and back up and become isolated and say, man, I failed at this. I failed at something else. I can't do anything right. It's not that you're not doing something right. It's that enemy distorts what you're doing. And God wants you free. Okay, look at me again. Have you ever said something you wish you wouldn't have? Like me, you take your shoe off and sock and put your foot in your mouth? Yeah. But I was angry. Really? God wants to help you not get that angry. And me. When I was younger, I was a street fighter. If somebody mouthed off, I'd hit him in the mouth. No thoughts, no second guessing. Just smack him. You don't disrespect me, I'll take care of that. Got in a major fight in Minneapolis and almost killed a guy after a hockey tournament game. My temper was out of control. It's amazing I put up with you people. I'm not stretching anything. When we got in seventh grade, our seventh grade gym teacher, because we were on the border between Minnesota and Canada, and there was a lot of fights going on, he said, when you fight, fight to win. Baseball, bat, tire iron, doesn't matter. Fight to win. I took him serious. And so to be telling you things like this and coming off, I've never preached on this before. It's so different. And I feel absolutely out of place. So what do I do then? I set up a time, if possible, to meet with the person, with the people. After praying about it, after emptying myself out, after not thinking about revenge, just thinking about healing. That's all I want, healing. And so we sit down. Let them know that they have value. You're not there. You're not setting something up. You're not getting with them to hurt them. You want to reinforce that God loves them and they have value. And that you miss the relationship and things going on. And sometimes, even though it may be hard, it's good to say, I'm really sorry that you took it that way. Just sorry you took it that way. Because that's not my intent. Now, as you're looking at people that have left the church, went back doing some of the stuff they used to do, you don't have to point out everything they're doing wrong. Amen? Yeah. Point out the fact that you are missed and you have value and we love you. Mm-hmm. And we want you back. Do you know something? I didn't see, and you can read that story. I think it's Luke 15. The story of the prodigal son, I didn't hear the father asking any questions. He just loved him. He just loved him. And you know something? He never even had a time with the elder brother where he got in his face. He just said, everything I have is yours. My son who was dead is alive. Kind of a good way to handle stuff. And I'm learning this. You folks are helping me. I'm learning how to deal with some things where I like to do something different. And keep in mind, when you get hurt, sometimes the old nature rises up. But you know God knows that? God understands that. And God's not there condemning you. I meet with people who don't come to church anymore. And I've been meeting with someone now for a couple years, it seems like. Maybe it is. And I was just with them last week, or this week, this past week. And things are opening up, slowly. One day I sat with him and his son, and we were talking, and we walk out the car, and he looked at me and he said, "Pastor, you can come anytime you want, but I just don't want you to condemn me or my son. That's not my purpose." I said, "That's not my purpose. My purpose is to let you know we love you and you're missed. And that's it." God just wants reconciliation and restoration. And I'm not preaching this because we're doing things wrong, okay? Look at me. I'm not saying you're wrong in what you've done. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I just want us all to be on the same page, bringing people back, restoring families, restoring husbands and wives, getting the children back with the parents and the grandparents, and doing things that build relationships, because that's what God is all about. And I didn't preach from something I've heard or something I've been talking about. It's just something that God dropped in and said, "It seems like this is the time, and we love you. And we don't want you to get hurt. But I don't want to get hurt more by taking some wrong steps in situations where people have been offended or people have a problem or people have this. I want to see healing. Yes. And I want your life to be blessed. I want your families to be blessed. I want you to just come to a place where if there's something inside me that's still hurting and if I'm having a hard time forgiving, just ask God, he'll help you." I've told this story and I close with it. Many years ago, I was preaching in Napa, Idaho. And a 78-year-old lady came up for prayer. And as I walked over to pray, and we had a long healing line that night, long prayer line. And you probably know where I'm going. I got up to her and she said, "Can we just step back a bit?" And I looked at her and she says, "I was raped when I was 18, and you're the first person I told." And the first thing that came out of my mouth, and it had to be God because I wouldn't have thought about it, I said, "Have you forgiven the person?" And she said, "I can't." And I said, "I understand that. But with God's help, and if he helps you forgive, are you willing to forgive him?" And she said, "Yes." And the moment she said yes, she was broken and totally healed. It's just set free. It's not that we can do it on our own. We beat ourselves up sometime because we struggle with forgiving. It's not on our own. God just saying, "Let me help you. I'll help you forgive whatever. I'll help you and I'll put a love for that one in your heart that you could have never got from yourself." Right. And that's what he wants to do in relationships. In your city, in your community. Because if you have breathed, somebody has hurt you. And God says, "I want to restore that."